Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle, and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy, and I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord, be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Well, how are you feeling today? Are you happy or are you sad? Are you worried? Are you calm? Are you full of joy? Full of joys of spring in this nice sunny day? Full of despair? How are you today? How were you yesterday? You probably weren't feeling exactly the same yesterday. Did you wake up feeling the same way yesterday? What about last week? What about last year? We all go through various different kinds of moods and feelings as life goes on. I would say that most of us feel differently from day to day. No day is the same. Our moods change. The world moves so quickly nowadays. Things happen so quickly that our feelings can alter very easily before we even realize it. Here in the Book of Psalms, wonderful book, we have a collection of songs and verses written by normal, in inverted commas, believers in God. They describe everyday experiences. They tell of feelings commonly experienced by all of us. They're so true to life. We can so easily identify with the psalmists as they write these things down. We go through the different moods and feelings with them. We sometimes find the psalmist full of joy, praising God, worshipping him, singing and making music with thankfulness. But at other times we see him in the depths of despair, crying out to God for help in times of need. Nothing is hidden here. We find the psalmist close to his God. We also find him feeling miles away from his God. Christian experience is described in this book of Psalms in its entirety, warts and all, in its fullness. Nothing is hidden, the good and the bad times. Because of this, the Psalms are a great encouragement to the Christian. Don't you agree? I find them so anyway. They show us that it's the expected that we won't be feeling it on the top of the world all the time. And it's normal for the Christian to feel like that in this life. God's word is so true to life, so honest. The important thing is that no matter what our feelings and experiences as Christians, God loves us the same. He wants us to stay close to him, to depend upon him, and to desire him. I start each day by reading a psalm, and I found great help through them. They remind me of my relationship with my God. It's so personal. The God of all creation, the God who sent his only son to die on a cross, so that I might be able to know him. David knew this same God. This Psalm 27 is one of over 70 that he wrote and that are recorded here for building our faith in God. David, you remember, was the shepherd boy chosen by God to be king. He was the one who slew Goliath. He was Jesus' ancestor, a great man. In Acts we read that God himself refers to David as a man after my own heart. All of us could aspire to be a man like David. But hang on a minute, I hear you cry. Wasn't this the same David who committed adultery with Bathsheba? Didn't he then arrange her husband's murder in war? How can he be a man that we could all aspire to be? There but for the grace of God go I. David was a man prone to sin like all of us. We too are tempted, we too commit sin. But David's reaction to his sin was to turn straight away to God in confession and repentance. There's no hiding of David's weaknesses and failures in God's word. He was a great king. He was a man after God's own heart. But he had failures. He had weaknesses. He was a man just like us. In his Psalms, he often writes of the privileges of belonging to God. He's keen to tell of how he has proved God's goodness. And he passes this on to us so that we can learn how to live lives which please and honour God. We can follow David through his experiences. As he trusts God, he finds God to be good and faithful. In times of distress, we see him turn to God in prayer, and we see God answering his prayers. So let's look together then at this Psalm 27. We're going to see the psalmist's dependence upon God, his desire to be close to his God, and his confidence in God's presence with him. David's dependence upon God, his desire to walk closely with God, and his confidence that God will be with him forever. Firstly then, the psalmist's dependence upon God. We read in verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." The Lord is my light and my salvation. As I said to the children earlier, when I was a teenager in Yorkshire, I went with this group from my church up to the Dales to do this walk. From the west side to the east side, 43 miles, set off 10 o'clock at night and walked through the night. Up on the moors, on the top of those hills, of course there were no lights apart from the torches that we were carrying with us. It was pretty scary, I can tell you. Pitch black all around, only the voices of the people that we're walking with, one or two torchlights, total darkness. We depend upon light. I don't know about you, but my times when I worry most, when I'm most fearful, are at night time, in the dark, when I can't see anything around me. Those are the times when I have to think carefully about my God, because I start to worry in times of darkness. I start to fear at times of darkness. Darkness, lack of light, makes us feel lost. We can't do without light. We're so dependent upon it. We take light for granted, don't we? We know the sun provides light during the day, and we have artificial light in our homes at night time. We need light. And when it's taken away, say there's a power cut, we're lost without it. We fumble around in the dark, trying not to stumble over furniture, and we quickly become disorientated. We need light as much as we need food and drink. David says, "The Lord is my light." As we depend upon the sun for light, as we depend upon our light bulbs for light at night, to enable us to do everyday things, common, all everyday things, so David is dependent upon God, his light, to enable him to live a life that is right before God. David needs God. We need God. David is totally dependent upon God, otherwise he would go astray. Otherwise he would get lost. Without God, David would not be able to go on. He would be like the man at the top of a hill with no lights, not knowing which way to go. "The Lord is my light and my salvation," he says. "The Lord is the stronghold of my life." David finds security and safety in God. We read of his enemies attacking him. We read of evil men advancing and wanting to devour his flesh in verse 2. And we read of an army besieging him and war breaking out against him in verse 3. But he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, the stronghold of my life." We see David's strong faith. In times where, humanly speaking, he is weak, he is strong because God is his salvation and his stronghold. So So he can say, of whom shall I be afraid? My heart will not fear. As King of Israel, King of God's people, there are many seeking his downfall, many wanting to make war against him, many enemies all around him. But David remembers the message that he received from the prophet Nathan in the book of 2 Samuel. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be a ruler of my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. God made an agreement with David and his successors. God promised to stand by them in their troubles and prosper their reigns if they reigned on his behalf. The Lord is David's light, his salvation, his stronghold. Who shall he fear? He fears no one. David, with God on his side, will have the victory every time. Even if his family deserts him, he knows his God will not. David knows he is dependent upon his God for his very life. In John's Gospel, chapter 15, Jesus refers to the Christian life as being like a vine and its branches. He says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." We need to be in Christ. Isn't it easy to forget that we're dependent upon God for everything in today's world, where everything comes so easily to us? But we're dependent upon God for our very lives. Don't we often take our blessings in this life for granted? Don't we often try to do things using our own light, our own strength, thinking that we are strong enough, thinking that we're secure, that we can't fall? We can't afford to do that. Our confidence in ourselves is misplaced. David recognized, and we must recognize too, that we are totally dependent upon God. Without him, we are lost, in the dark, vulnerable. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." We need his life. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger." We need him to sustain us. Jesus said, "Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst." We cannot live lives, fulfilled lives, without recognizing our dependence upon God. We need him. So firstly then, the psalmist's dependence on God. Let's move on. Secondly, the psalmist's desire. And we sang about this earlier in the chorus. We read in verse 4, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon his beauty, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple." When I was a little boy, I wanted to be a train driver. When I was in my early teens, I wanted to be a footballer. When I'd got a job in my mid-20s, I wanted to get married and have children. Now I want to retire. If someone were to say to you that they could grant you one wish, what would you wish for? Be honest, at least with yourself. I'm not going to ask you to shout out. Perhaps you'd wish for good health, for yourself or your family. Perhaps you'd wish for greater wealth, to be more secure financially. Or perhaps you'd wish for better relationships with family or friends. Perhaps you'd wish for a better environment for everybody to live in. All these, I suppose, to some extent, are important in today's society. What would be your greatest desire? Someone once said, "We often desire most what we ought not to have." Maybe true. What is David's greatest desire? "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." David earnestly prays to God that he may dwell in the house of the Lord. That is, that he may be kept close to God all the days of his life. He wants to be in constant communion with God. He wants to be so close to him that he can speak to him and know God listening to him. He wants to be able to worship him, to sing and make music to him. His greatest desire is to be so close to God that we can even gaze upon His face. Gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. David wrote in Psalm 4, "Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord." The light of God's favour and mercy are what David desires. He longs to be close to God. If he could ask only one thing, this would be it: to know something of the beauty of God, His holiness, His love, His mercy every day. The Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Philippians, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far." Paul feels close to God in serving Him in life, but he desires to be closer to his Saviour and to be with Him in heaven after His death. "This is what I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever." How about us? Is it our greatest desire to know the closeness of God every day? Do we start off each morning praying that we may dwell in the house of the Lord every day, that we may gaze upon His beauty? Do we pray that we will know God close to us, so close that we can feel His presence? How can we know this? What does David say he has to do to enable this to happen? We read in verse 8, "My heart says of you, seek His face. Your face, O Lord, I will seek." David realizes that he has a responsibility to seek his Lord. There's no point just waiting for something to happen. You can't just sit around and hope that God will force His way into your life. Sometimes it does work that way. But God will draw you closer to Himself, but it also requires you. It also requires us to put ourselves out to seek Him. In verse 11 we read, "Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors." David sees that he needs to be taught God's way. As he goes through life, he needs to learn God's way. He's only human. He's tempted by sin. He still makes mistakes. But he wants to be taught God's way. His enemies, his oppressors, are ready to pounce on him if he takes a wrong turn. So he asks that God will make his path straight, so there's less chance of him falling off. David writes in Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long." Oh, how we need God to teach us His ways. How we need to get to know His revealed will for us in His Word. How we need to be close to Him so that we can talk to Him and He can teach us and lead us and guide us in His truth. How we need to spend time in prayer. Jim prayed that we would spend more time in prayer, more useful time in prayer. Dorothy prayed that we should spend more time reading God's Word. Wonderful prayers, that's what we should be seeking. Is this our greatest desire? "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." So we've seen David's dependence upon God. We've seen his great desire to come closer to God. Thirdly, we see the psalmist's confidence in God. In verse 13 here we read, "I'm still confident of this, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." As someone once said, security is not the absence of danger, but the presence of God, no matter what the danger. Danger will still be there. Security comes by knowing God is there with us. Despite his enemies besieging him, despite their attacks, even then, David can still be confident. "Even then will I be confident," he says in verse 3. Even when his family and friends desert him, The Lord will not desert him. Verse 10. Even if war breaks out around him, David is confident that he will continue to see the goodness of his God all the days of his life. In Psalm 23 we read those well-known verses, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David's confidence and trust is in his Lord. God's true goodness and love will accompany him all the days of his life. What a wonderful thought, to be so secure in that thought. Like the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, that nothing, absolutely nothing in all creation can separate him, can separate the Christian, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The reference in verse 13 of "in the land of the living" here means the present time, the present life. So David is confident that he will continue to see the goodness of the Lord in his life. But Matthew Henry, in his commentary, adds an interesting thought here, that the land of the living can only fully refer to heaven. The land of the living, the land where only those who know the way, the truth, and the life, that is Jesus, are present with their Creator God. This life on earth is the land of the dying. Look around at the people around you. So many are dying because they neglect God. Jesus said in John verse 10, chapter 10, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Those who are resting in the salvation which Jesus won on the cross and in his resurrection, they are the ones who will populate the land of the living. It's a wonderful thought. David is confident that he will see the goodness of God in the land of the living now and into eternity. This gives him strength. This gives him hope. This gives him victory over the enemies all around him. David's future is assured. He is confident that he will enjoy the goodness and love of God forever. If we know God, if we put our trust in the sacrifice of Jesus for our sins, if we depend upon God for our light and salvation, then we can also live lives of confidence, of hope. Because we can say with David, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. So we've seen that David's life depends fully upon the presence of God. His greatest desire is to live close to God, and that he is confident that God will be with him in this life and into eternity. Here is a man described by God as a man after my own heart. How do we shape up? How much do we depend and rely upon our God? Is it just when times are going well? Do we desire above all other things to be close to our God? Are we living in the confidence that nothing can separate us from the love of God until that day when we shall see God face to face in heaven? We started off by reading, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." One day, we won't depend upon the sun for our light. We read in Isaiah chapter 60, "The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting life." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this psalm that we have read, and it tells us of David's relationship with you, and it teaches us, it shows us so much of our lives as Christians with you. Father, we do pray that you would help us to recognize how much we depend upon you, that we depend totally and fully for everything upon you, for our very life, for every single breath, we depend upon you. Father, may we know the closeness of your Spirit and your love. May we desire to be closer to you day by day. May we want that above all else, to be one with you. And Father, we do thank you that we can know this confidence, this wonderful hope, this certain hope that you are with us during the days that we spend here on earth, but also into eternity. Nothing can separate us from you. Father, we thank you for these wonderful things, these wonderful thoughts. May we delight in these. May we desire to walk even closer with you. Even when we go away from this place this morning, may we be lifted up, lifted closer to you. May we desire your ever closer Spirit with us. So bless us then each one. In Jesus' name. Amen.